listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and definitely the most important person on this podcast, despite there being many more interesting and powerful characters. I am your host, and I am teaching myself cool peeing techniques while perfecting my valley-cleaning farts. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he's just really pissed that someone ruined his ramen. He is Steve, the Geek Shinny.
Ooh, I'm the powerful chief. The fat powerful chief, but the powerful chief. That's pretty good. You can pee in your own mouth from atop a mountain. I would have... Not the way I would have gone, but I appreciate it.
He pees in his own mouth?
Yeah. When he's on top of the mountain, he pees off the mountain, and then he falls off the mountain, and he falls faster than his pee somehow, because he does everything so fast, and then he lands on the ground, and his pee lands in his mouth.
That's the comic we're talking about.
Ghoul is.
Yes, exactly. We are not talking about like some guy we knew in college. This is the comic we are talking about this week, and the comic is, the official title on the comic itself is Ghoul and the Goblin King. You can find this on Webtoons.
Well, the
it just lists it as Ghoul, G-U-L. You can find it. But it's brought to us by Atenmaru and Nicoli DC. And this comic is it's a Steve pick, and I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's definitely there are at least two panels I saw where I'm like, oh, I see why Steve picked this, and it's again not no judgment, but I would like for you to describe this comic to the people.
Okay, so first, imagine in your mind Dragon Balls, the anime, not the genitalia.
Damn. Hang on. I gotta switch my brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Anime, I'm on.
All right. Okay. So we got Dragon Balls. Now replace Goku and the rest with fantasy tropes. So you've got orcs and goblins and dark elves and demons, all that stuff. Then marinate that in a little bit of... what's a good example of this type of humor? I want to say... Venture Brothers, but I don't know if that's quite the right one. I don't know. Marinate in some crazy humor, and then season with a little bit of Weird Al, and then you've got yourself Ghoul.
Okay, I'll accept that. Yeah, it's definitely a puerile humor. Largely, it's you know, jokes again. The titular character Ghoul. Pees off a cliff and practices his techniques. Like, he's got one that swirls, he calls Rolling Thunder, and as you mentioned, he's so fast. Like that is like kind of his thing, because he's the main character. So you're like, okay, well, he's this little tiny, just weak orc. I was gonna say goblin. No, he's not a goblin. Goblins are terrible. He's an orc, like orc child who, you know, is always screwing up. His friends are friends. They're his friends, but they also hate him, basically, because he's always getting the best of everything, even though he never does any work. And so he's terrible, but he's also really fast. So apparently, and maybe good with directions, but probably not. He's chosen to lead somebody on a quest, due to his fastness. That's first and foremost, but also his sense of direction, which doesn't actually appear to be that good, but they still choose him. So but yeah, my intro kind of alluded to, there are like all the elders of the village that we meet, you know, right from the beginning, are they're really cool sounding, and they, like, you know, one is like legendary. Oh, that was you that did that all those years ago? Yes, that was me. I've kept it quiet, you know. They all have these like storied legends behind them, and they're like hiding them because they're like, oh, now I take care of the people in this village, so I've, you know, downplayed that. But yes, I'm an awesome badass, and Ghoul again is just fast. That's about it.
But he's fast on the level that kind of competes with all this stuff, and that's cool. So I said it was like Dragon Ball, because it definitely has a lot of kung fu fantasy wuxia roots, where everyone is a secret badass who just has all this innate power underneath them, but they don't act like it, kind of like you mentioned. But it's all it is over the top. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm Spider-Man and I can jump and walk up a thing. He's like, no, I can punch really hard, but when I do it, a rhino comes out. Because I'm that ridiculous. And I like that. And I like that it all seems to be from training. And like these people aren't just naturally this good. Everyone's worked really hard. Ghoul works really hard at running fast. That is where he's put the time in, and he's rewarded by being super fast. And I don't know, that kind of, there's also like everyone's referred to as master, or there's like various clans within clans and all these different moving parts. So it scratches that itch for me. I always have an itch for the kung fu silliness, and this just cranks the silliness part of that up to 11.
So, I thought that Ghoul, I got the sense that maybe he's so good at running because, like, Skyrim, like, leveling, he's good at it because he does it all the time. And he does it all the time because he screws up all the time and he's running from people. So, I took that to mean that's how he's so good at running, because he does it all the time, because he has to run from people constantly because he's, you know, terrible. So, even if he's not, you're right, he is very fast. And, the overtopness is the best part of the comic. Like to a certain degree, it kind of reminds me of like a MacGruber, in that just everything is over the top. Like everything is the dialogue, the way things are presented. Like I have this grab of when they're doing some introductions of the guys, the orcs, the head orcs in the village, and one's name is Bob the Builder. He says, "I'm Bob the Builder. I built that house," but he's pointing, and like his finger is so dramatically pointing up to this building, and then it shows the building, but above it says sturdy. that was one I had to grab, because I'm just like, okay, that is a perfect encapsulation of why I like this kind of thing, because it's just over the top bonkers, and everything is like, it's not just when they're fighting, because when they're fighting, yes, it is Dragon Ball level fights where it's episodes at a time before it resolves, and they're jumping in the air, jumping up to space basically to slam this guy down to the ground that cracks the earth in half. And it's like, and every fight is like that. And your mileage may vary if you like that kind of stuff. I really do. It's fun. So I really enjoyed the fight scenes. I think the last one, the big one that I took in, was the goblins and Ghoul taking on the Wyvern.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Ghoul that finally kicks the rock and like breaks the Wyvern's neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a goblins, very powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. The goblins take credit for it, of course, because they're like, oh, we're goblins. We're awesome. Like it was our head goblin. He's the one that did it. And that's when they break into a goblin parody of Uptown Funk, which lasts for a long time. They sing a lot of the song with goblin specific lyrics. So, yeah, that's part of the more over the topness, and also what Steve was talking about when he said part Weird Al. There's some musical parodies. I also have a screen grab of the fish that Ghoul. I guess he's not the one that ruins it, that kills them. It's his friends that go pee in the pond and kill all the fish. But the fish have like they have rock hard abs, and I don't think that's possible for fish. I don't think they're bodies are built that way, but I, again, just had to take a picture because I've never seen a fish with abs.
So that's how they imagine the fish is imagining themselves, right? Like, you know, those fish really don't have abs. This is a comic where a fish could have abs, but those aren't their abs.
Okay. I took it to mean, yes, they actually do, because this comic is that kind of comic. But I that also makes sense. So, yeah, that's, I'll accept that. I wish it weren't true, but I'll accept it. And we get kind of a nice backstory, and I've not caught up on everything. It's a fairly young webtoon. That's not saying much, because webtoons, you know, they scroll forever each episode typically. And this one is definitely in that category. So there's like 37, I think, episodes so far, and I read up to 20, but, there is a story where Ghoul is taking Ran, who is the, elf, the dark elf that has come to their town, and, needs to go back to the elf realm, basically. So Ghoul is going to lead her there. He's going to guide her there, or go along with her, at least. Him, sorry. I keep saying her because he has long hair, but him.
Because all elves are such Nancys. That's an outdated stereotype, Jason, and you need to be more progressive.
You said it, not me. I didn't say that. No, that in no way reflects my opinions on elves. Nancy boys. So they're going back, and the elder of the chief of the village mentions that Ghoul's mother is currently living there. And so he's going to meet his mother, and they're just like, you know, does he know that? Of course not, he's Ghoul. But, you know, she's there. She's a blacksmith. She's like the best blacksmith in the land. And so they'll meet eventually, and that'll be a nice family reunion, probably. I imagine his mother is just as over the top as everybody else we've met in this comic, so why not? But there is that sprinkling of you know, story to follow along, as opposed to just bouncing from one crazy situation to the other, which is by and large what it feels like this comic is to me. And that's not a knock necessarily, because I really enjoyed the moment to moment action and even inaction. But, you know, knowing that there's a promise of, you know, there will be a story that plays out here, and there we do have things to follow along with and care about, as opposed to just action, 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 action. So. Felt it was necessary to mention that on top of the over-the-topness.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some backstory, some world-building that's done. I mean, this is a fantasy world, so there's an ancient war with the demons that used to happen. The elves and the orcs have this long-standing treaty because of it. Like, there's lots of stuff going way back that adds up and really does a lot of stuff to the comic, and kind of makes it stronger because of it. And, you know, that's what I'm always looking for in a fantasy comic, is good backstory, lots of interesting relationships between different races and stuff, and this comic has that.
Sorry about that, folks. Back from an audio glitch there. We're going to talk about the artwork. And the artwork is... You know, I put a note in here initially that said, I really like the action, but when it is not action, when they're just kind of standing still, whatever, it kind of falls apart. And then, like, two pages later, whatever I saw was like, okay, I need to erase that note, because that doesn't make any sense anymore. Like, it's not, there's not a part that falls apart. And maybe early on it had, like, some maybe, like, form issues or whatever, but it's not enough to really bring up. It is kinetic. Like, it's always moving. Like, even when they're just standing still, somebody's preparing to do something over the top and crazy and action packed. So it's that kind of comic. I mean, it is Dragon Ball Z. I always say Dragon Ball Z because I was introduced to Dragon Ball Z first, and so that's the Dragon Ball that sticks in my head. I don't even know what I know what Dragon Ball is, but like, yeah, Z always sticks to the end of it for some reason. It's that kind of action, that kind of even when characters are talking, they're still punching something for whatever reason, and you either like that or you don't, and I really do. So it fits the comic perfectly, and the action itself is amazingly drawn, and I loved watching the goblins take apart that wyvern.
It was cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. The dynamism is a big draw of this comic. Everything is just like the silliness is amped up to 11. The action is amped up to 11. This whole comic just exists at 11. And if you don't like 11, that's going to be a problem. But I love 11. One of my favorite numbers. So, absolutely into it. I do... I could totally see, like, the sketchiness of some of the art losing some people. But to me, that kind of works to the advantage of the comic, and just kind of displays the raw kineticism of everything. And, yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it almost makes it feel like... In different hands, it would feel like, yeah, this is too sketchy and it falls apart in places. But no, it just feels like it's such at such a frenzied pace that even the artist didn't have time to draw it. Like, it just, oh God, I have to draw this. Oh, next to the next one. And yeah, it's, but there are like quieter moments. Like, so one of my favorite moments is right after Ran and Ghoul leave the village and they're heading out on their journey. And immediately there's a montage of these terrible situations they get put in that, you know, I have to imagine are 100% Ghoul's fault, because that's just how things roll. But I likened it to if Frodo and Sam left the Shire and immediately were like taken upon by every single villain in the universe, in the land, and had to fight them, as opposed to, you know, they had some quiet times. So yeah, I really like that montage of it. shows versatility in the places they're traveling to and the types that the artist can draw. But it also, again, there's no dialogue in those, so it's nice and quiet as opposed to the screaming. And I think that's part of the reason why it feels like it's such a loud and in-your-face comic to me, is that everybody always constantly has their teeth bared and they're screaming whatever they're saying. Nobody's ever just quiet little lips pursed. Like, sometimes Ran is, because she's an elf. And I imagine elves are more soft-spoken than the orcs, which, you know, makes sense. But yeah, the orcs are talking and they're just like talking to one another in a room, quietly, one-on-one. And yet they're both like... And that's what I imagine it mostly sounds like, with words in there as well. So... yeah, I think that's part of the reason it also reads to me like just in your face over the top, is that the mouths are never just, hi, how you doing? I can't imagine what an orc podcast sounds like.
They peak all the time, I'll tell you that.
Yes, yeah. So they're constantly, the guy over on the knobs is just like, oh, God, man. Can't keep up with this.
It's tough. It's tough. The orc language is very guttural. It's all in the back of the throat, so you really have to bare your teeth to see it.
Yes, and constantly using lozenges, like they, you know, just my kingdom for a lozenge in the orc village town of Bubies. Is that what it, Bubies?
Sure, yes. Why not?
I have no idea how it's pronounced. Bhubiz.
That was a little world building nod that I liked. Is that ghoul rhymes everything with ghoul? He has to. He's very narcissistic, so he's got to put ghoul everything. So he probably calls the name Ghoulsburg, or I don't know. New Ghoul City. I'm not sure, but it's all about the ghoul, baby.
I just realized, saying it out loud, I knowing how this comic is, I think it's actually supposed to sound like boobies.
Oh yeah, duh.
I didn't get that. I hadn't said it out loud until I actually said it to you. I was like, wait a minute, that's boobies. Oh goodness, you got me again.
A sphincter says what?
Yeah, that's totally me. Unless it's one I've heard from Wayne's World, I will absolutely fall for it. I just constantly keep saying it. Like, why do they keep laughing? They're laughing with you. Oh, okay. We're all having fun then. That's the kind of fun I like to have. Yeah. So, I mean, final thoughts. My final thoughts are it's just, it's in your face, loud, action-packed, silly. It's a blast. It's fun to read. The characters are fun. Situations are fun. Action is great. Yeah, I couldn't want more from this type of comic.
Yeah, same thing. It's a ton of fun. Really enjoyed my time with it. Feel like there's lots more in store. Like the underlying story of Spade, who's a bounty hunter we didn't mention, and what's going along with the demons. Like there's some stuff going on, and I want to know what that stuff is. And I'm always excited for more fantasy action adventure. So this is right up my alley. And I like things in my alley. It's where I try and keep things.
Yeah, I had forgotten about Spade. That is, again, if you're only on like episode 20, you've only seen him like once in a brief fight. But fights with cards. He likes to trap people in this, like a house of cards, kind of. And what does it say? Like 60 seconds, the house will be dissipated or whatever. Like you'll be freed. Like you'll be fine. But you know, he's going to keep you in here for now. It's yeah. It's definitely a different fighting style than, you know, the orcs, which are just smash mouth in your face. So, yeah, that I hope to see more of that, as time goes on. And I definitely want to keep up with, I want to catch up and keep up with this one, because it's, yeah, I feel like that blast of energy could really, maybe too much, maybe be a detriment, but would definitely be a good pick-me-up on some days. So definitely check out Ghoul. It's good.
Oh, I forgot to mention, like the avatars of the week. I don't know how people get these, but there's all these crazy characters that just start the thing just to show off the art range. And those are fantastic. I love seeing all these just absolutely baller fantasy characters, and they're all over the place. It's not just like, here's a dwarf and here's a guy with a sword. It's, you know, they're more creative than that, and they're really, really fun. So shout outs to those as well.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not getting enough fantasy variety in the comic, then yeah, check those out at the top of every comic. And they are very gorgeous avatars created for some purpose. We don't know why, but Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Digital Strips. We thank you very much for your support and for sticking with us through all the technical issues. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two men who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If that happens to be Apple Podcasts, now Spotify. Spotify has ratings. They have added that. So if you can rate us on whatever service you have there, we really appreciate, especially 5-star reviews. If you have any comments about anything we've talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
And I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And with that, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
Pretty sure I'm still Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you in the fourth panel.